Blog Talk Radio.
It's a very exciting topic, and it's a very exciting day today because the May 1st, we have the lounge for angel prayers. I will talk a little bit more about that later. Call in and discuss with us or get a mini reading live here on air. We take calls as they come. We are the show that discuss different spiritual topics concerning us all. I'm Lottie, coming to you live from Stockholm, Sweden. I'm a psychic medium working with spirit in different ways since the mid-90s, also taking mini readings for guidance here live at the show. I'm doing this show together with my co-host and husband, Frankie, an astrologer, teacher, and out-of-the-body traveler. He uses I Ching for mini readings. Call in and discuss with us on 714-816-4628. In national caller style, +1. 714-816-4628. And get your spot early. Remember to press 1 on your keypad on your device to be placed in queue to speak with us live here at the show. Listen live and text chat with us all in one place. Go to our chat room at psychictalk.net/live, where you can send messages to us during the live broadcast. You can comment, ask questions, chat with other listeners, and even request a reading. psychictalk.net/live. Or you can call in now and get your spot early. 714-816-4628, and don't forget to press 1 on your keypad. We will take calls as they come from about 10-15 minutes into the show. And if you haven't called in now, so it's the time to do that. 714-816-4628, and international callers dial +1. Before the number. Well, it's time to bring on my co-host for Spiritual Landscapes, Frankie. Hello, Frankie, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. I'm listening always in the background to your introduction. Today we are going to speak, it will be a follow-up to our previous conversation a couple of weeks ago, and it was about the content of consciousness when you have an unusual experience. It can be psychic or spiritual. And the problem is that we are living in a mainstream world which denies, the value of spiritual experience and the veracity, There are a lot of defense mechanism in between, So I spoke about the difference between the Freudian approach. Freud was very, very suspicious of the unconscious and its productions. And I compare it to the paradigm of Jung. Jung was more sympathetic to what happened in the unconscious, and he called it even the collective unconscious, which is the repository of human knowledge and experiences through the ages, you know. So when he went through a spiritual crisis, 1913, he had a lot of psychic, you know, messages coming from the beyond. And he wrote the messages down, you know, in a series of writings called the Black Writings. And later on, he compiled the entire production in a book called the Red Book, you know. And in the Red Book, you have this famous channeling called the Seven Sermon to the Dead. A very amazing, you know, material coming from channeled by the Basilides of Alexandria, an ancient priest in Alexandria in 2 centuries after Christ, no? The second century after Christ, I'm sorry. And, what Jung said was that he was very suspicious of the nature of that material. And it took several years for him in order to integrate it, you know. And he had a lot of visions of the coming First World War when he was sitting in a train in a half-awakened state, and he saw, you know, torrents and floods of blood, you know, overwhelming Europe, you know. So, then after his entire psychology is how to approach the unconscious in a beneficent way, you know. So, and that's exactly what we would speak about. People having an out-of-the-body experience for the first time, like Robert Brownlow, a very famous person in that context, writer, you know, was very suspicious to meet a psychiatrist during the 50s. He was very afraid to be labeled with a kind of a psychosis diagnosis, something like that, you know. And 10 years after, during the 60s, you have that famous British psychiatrist, Ronald Dilling, who wrote a book called The Politics of Experience, and he was arguing for acknowledging and recognizing or to build or to create a science of experience, because a subjective experience is not, you know, welcome in a conversation with a psychiatrist, a mainstream psychiatrist, the biologically oriented psychiatrist, who generally see anything of these manifestations as a symptom of brain damage, you know. So that was the greatness of Lange, is to create a science of subjectivity, you know, of interiority, in order to acknowledge, these very important spiritual experiences happening, which were actually for the benefit of the person, you know, experiencing them, you know. For it was a very powerful healing, process. You understand that?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think you have two dimensions here. You have among the scholars and science. You were speaking about Ronald Lange. He was a very famous psychiatrist. And then you also are talking about ordinary people having unusual experience and what to do with those experiences, because you can't go to the doctor and say, wow, I had an amazing experience. How should I interpret it? Can you help me?
Yes, exactly. So we have a problem. There is a dilemma between the state of consciousness experienced by the regular people like us, you know, and how they are interpreted in the interpretation, which is mostly unconscious because it is connected to the cultural environment of the person. For example, a Hindu having, a common man on the street, Hindu, having a kind of a calling experience, would of course interpret it according to his cultural background. For example, the call of Krishna or Ganesh or what you want. And, on the other hand, the Christian would, trying to see if there is some kind of angel or a saint talking to him, you know, or to her.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, there is no universal character in all of that. You know, it is always, modified by the cultural environment. It doesn't mean that is bad, but it's very interesting to compare that and to see what is going on, you know, from deeper layers of the human unconscious.
Yes. I think it's much more easy for an Indian person to be able to interpret these unusual experiences than us in the Western world, because we are so far away from spirituality. Of course, so many people are spiritual, but they are not supported by the government.
You got a point. For example, I read the book of Swami Muktananda, who was a very famous guru of the 18th. And his book was called The Play of Consciousness. It was a great book to read, you know. Actually, he was writing about his own personal experiences as a yogi, you know. And that's very valuable literature, if you want, you know, for people to read that, you know. But his pantheon, you know, according to his experiences, you see only Hindu gurus and not even, for example, a Buddhist or a shaman or a Christian saint or something like that, you know. That was an exclusivity of Hindu-based figures, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the problem, if you want, because it tends to be very ethnocentrically interpreted, you know. And that's not very good for if you want to have a vision of a truly universal consciousness for all mankind, you know.
Yes. Yes, I really agree with you there. Say, please, listeners, call into us. We are waiting for your calls. You can dial 714-816-4628. And international callers, dial +1 714-816-4628. And from now into the show, we take callers just as they come. Yeah, Frankie, please go on. Can you talk a little bit more about defense mechanism? You know, I think the expression comes from Dr. Freud at the start, but what is a defense mechanism?
Yeah, defense mechanism is a set of, some psychic mechanism or psychological mechanism there to exert a kind of repression of some material emerging from the unconscious, you know. And you have several kind of defense mechanism. You have some very primitive, we are not so good, because they are just like, for example, projecting a lot of rubbish we have in ourselves on others, and that's not very good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the top of the most favorable defense mechanism are called sublimation, the transcendence, you know. That's very good for the health of the soul, you know. But if you are projecting a lot of stuff on others, then you risk to be, to have a very serious pathology, you know. Because you're not you're seeing the life through very amazing, you know, spectacles, you know, and very dangerous spectacles, you know, and you can see it has some very grave consequences. We see that every day in the world, you know. So when you have, for example, an experience of an inner luminosity or illumination. That has very much to do when you're interpreting what sort of level of psychological maturity you are, you know. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
And in that case, it's very important to have a very good sense of rationality, because you cannot buy anything, you know, like, well, this is Jesus talking to me, you know. Maybe yes and maybe not. Jesus, the Christ, is the cosmic being. That's fine. He can speak to everybody. But at the same time, there are some limits. You understand what I mean? In interpretation, you know. There are some reasons that you go too fundamental. And you have to be very, very careful of that, you know, that's a conflict-free zone of tolerance. And to, you understand what I mean? There are a lot of several factors, you know, having a very important weight, you know, in when you're interpreting a spiritual experience, because you are not the only one who experiencing that. You know, the entire humanity has been, you know, involved in that through centuries and millennia, you know, since the first shaman of prehistory. You know? So you cannot say, I'm the only one having that experience, you know. You cannot say that. You know?
So what advice do you have to a person experience Jesus talking to him or her in a dream or during meditation or in another circumstance? So what advice can you give that person?
Well, I think that the experience itself is great. Maybe she has Jesus, the cosmic consciousness, the Christ consciousness, you know, which is unlimited, you know, You can speak to everyone, you know. But how you interpret when you're working in the morning after a dream like that, calling yourself that you're chosen, that's not very, very... very practical for the person giving such an interpretation to himself or to herself, because people around him or her will react in a very, very negative way. It could be very arrogant or very narcissistic to claim these things that you're, you know, well, you have a personal contact with the divine that way. You know? You understand what I mean?
Yeah, and I think this is very interesting, because you can turn it around also and see, well, why shouldn't Jesus or any other of the masters in the universe talking to me? It doesn't make me special, because everybody is special. And perhaps this fantastic great being is talking to so many, but not that many are listening. So it doesn't need to be very special, to be very unique or to be the chosen one or something like that, too, right?
Yes, you have some, crazy head. I'm sorry, I'm using that terms. And I was those sects, very, very narcissistic sects like Jim Jones, you know, they create a lot of trouble for the people. And you have to be very aware, to be very careful with these guys, you know. Jesus speaks to your soul, yes, absolutely, in your heart, you know. Because he's an eternal presence, and that's great. But doesn't mean that you are, you know, a special, you know, chosen guy. You know?
No, so it just can be the opposite. I really understand when you have these leaders, Jim Jones, and they are very, very scary and very dangerous. If you think that Jesus or Buddha or the Buddhas or the masters are speaking to everybody in an attempt to reach us all with a great love, to embrace us, to wisdom, to make us grow spiritually. It's not any danger if everybody is listening, and it doesn't make you so special to be this charismatic, dangerous leader, right?
Oh, absolutely. And in that case, it's important to inform people that they are very dangerous forms of narcissistic and charismatic interpretation of real experience, actually, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the experience is not a problem in itself, but the interpretation, it has to be a universal interpretation,
yeah,
for all of us and not just for a special group, you know? Otherwise, it's just narcissism, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of a glorification of your ego, you know? Well, and that's very dangerous for the communities, you know? We have these problems with a lot of sects and, you know, political movements using religious, ideology for, very, very terrible, means, you know, if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the, that's a negative consequences. But generally, what you can do to yourself is to see if this message you are receiving is good for everyone you are meeting, you know, but including
mm-hmm.
the whole of humanity. And then is a more secure place for your interpretation, you know, because you as a soul, you are a cosmic being, and everything that you receive from the cosmos has to be rendered to the cosmos in the same way, you know. So you're including everyone, you know. What do you think?
Yeah. Let me ask you, do you think that everybody has the possibility and the ability to get in contact with spirit and get these kind of experiences?
Yeah, absolutely, because it is our nature, you know. We are born out of it, you know.
Yeah.
In the Bible, man was created as the image of God, and that is exactly what it means, you know. So it means that our essence is divine, and of course everyone can have such a contact with the divine because it's natural, you know.
Yes, that's my opinion also. So, and I remember I had a lot of students in my school coming to us and feel so normal because they are telling stories from their childhood or upbringing or even in the adult age. They have great experience, but they couldn't understand them and they had none to talk about. And when they were children, the parents just dismissed them and people thought they were strange and, well, perhaps you should go see a new doctor or something like that. So I think it's very stressful to have take amazing experience, but no one to talk to. So you really should need to be able to interpret them, but it's not very easy to do it by your own. You need some guidance, and you don't get any support from the society, not here in the Western world, at least.
Yes, because we are living in the mainstream science, which is basically very materialistic, if you want, dominating the minds of our days, you know. So
mm-hmm.
that is both a great blessing because we are using science, but at the same time, it's very dangerous when you are disconnected from the spirit, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So if we are going to an ordinary doctor, my house doctor or psychiatrist with these experiences, what do you think they will tell us?
Well, if it is a mainstream doctor, would say, well, the person will completely deny the nature of that experience. The mainstream psychiatrist, would say, this is a psychotic production, you know. Then I will give you a medication in order to stop that kind of, flow of unusual ideas or pictures and things like that, you know. That is exactly the result, to stop a process called spiritual emergency, which is the definition or term used by the transpersonal psychiatrist Stan Grof, who is actually very, very for, I mean, these experiences, you know, like Sherlane, if you want, very, very, mm-hmm. very open-minded. And of course, everything is based on empirical evidence, you know. So mm-hmm. they are not, babbling, if you want, you know. They had a lot of results, you know, and people get better when he listened to them, you know, and established a relationship so these people could really improve, you know, all of their symptoms disappeared, you know. So that's the problem, because medication will not help you. It will not help you to understand what is going on from the core, from the deeper unconscious, or from the divine.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. So why do you think they are not receiving or embracing this kind of experience? And I don't talk just about spiritual emergencies, because they are very powerful, just ordinary, out-of-the-body experience during a dream or contact with a spiritual being like Jesus or Buddha or something like angels, perhaps. So why don't they give that support to people?
Well, during the 20th century, the main, what they call it, epistemology, or, you know, a theory of knowledge, they established the boundaries of what is acceptable and what is not, you know. For example, all kind of, according to them, metaphysical productions were banished, you know. So they establish a contour of what is possible and what is impossible. So when you have when you are a psychiatrist trained in that tradition, and I understand, because it is one aspect of philosophy, you know, and theory of knowledge, they would tell you it is impossible because we don't have any paradigm explaining that, you know. So it is outside knowledge. So what can you do about that? It is like somebody who never, went to the parable of the cave of Plato, the person who is going outside and watching the light, and he's coming back, and he's talking to his friends who are enchained, and they're just fascinated by the play of the shadows on the wall. They don't understand him. Say, what you are talking is nonsense. You know, there is no light. You know? So exactly, if you want in a symbolic form, what is going on? You cannot have a serious conversation on that with a mainstream psychiatrist because that doesn't exist in their manual.
No.
What do you think?
No. Yes, I really agree with you there. And we are short back. I'm going to do some announcements. First, we have a question in our chat room from Charlotte. So I'm going to answer the question and then do some announcements of upcoming shows and also the Angel Lounge the 1st of May. And then we are going back to our very interesting discussion. So Charlotte writes, I love a message from the angels about if I'm on the right track. So let's see if an angel are going to visit us here today, Charlotte. Well, yes, I get contact with a very shiny, bright spiritual entity. Sometimes I get a name on an angel and sometimes not, but I never pass by the names. Just telling, it's a beautiful, really, really beautiful, shiny spiritual entity. It's a male energy. And he's very embracing and he's very loving. And he tells you, Charlotte, that that you have a little obstacles in front of you, so you have to take a big step. You take two small steps because I guess you are a bit afraid. Don't want to do any mistakes or something like that. But he tells you to take a real big step forward. And when you are doing that, then you can fly. So trust yourself. Trust that you also have some kind of an angel wings. Well, it's symbolic, of course, but you know what I mean. And you have this fantastic being besides you and helping you out. You just have to listen. That's your job. I hope that's okay. Okie doke, Charlotte. And I also think we have a caller online. So, hello, caller. Who are you and where are you calling from?
Hi. My name is Alyssa, and I'm calling from Wyoming.
Hello, Wyoming, but I missed your name.
Alyssa.
Alyssa. Hi, Alyssa. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Now I'm hearing you better. So, what can we do for you today?
Well, I was just kind of wondering if you could see if there's any messages or anything that you see that could help me right now in my just moving forward.
Yes. Okie dokie. Let's see what's up for you on the calendar. Well, it's a bit stressful time. I think you are quite tired and there have been difficulties and obstacles behind you. And you should really go into yourself to get some peace and quiet in mind, to create new dreams, what you want for life, what you want for yourself, how do you want to progress in your life and in your mind. It's a time of growing. It's a time to get rid of all the old obstacles, old values, old disappointments and so on, and like cleaning the past to really move forward. And let's see who we have with you here today. Oh, actually, I have a spiritual guide for you, and I hope it's all right. Is it?
Yes, great.
And it's a lovely being. He's very blue, in a kind of a human shape, but not human, if you know what I mean. It is a spiritual guide, and I think this guide has been with you for a while, actually. And he has trying to help you with your former obstacles and the past, to just leave it behind you. And you are making a little turn for the moment and go forward. And it looks like more bright in front of you. You should always check in with yourself before making decisions. And you shouldn't be so harsh on yourself. Try to love yourself.
Yeah.
This guide, he's loving you, so try to love yourself, and you have support from spirit.
Okay, great. That's great to hear.
Yeah. So move forward and trust yourself and trust the spirit. Frankie, okay. Did you have something to say here to Alyssa? Frankie, are you there?
Yes, I was looking at the hexagram saying exactly the same thing that you're expressing now. That's good.
Okay. Oh, that's good. So you have support from different angles here, Alyssa. Is it all right?
Yes, that's great, yes.
Do you have something else before?
About a job. Do you see any certain kind of jobs coming my way or something that could help me guide me in the right career path to go in or right job to try for?
Yeah. Well, don't worry, I will say. Well, it is a kind of a healing process for the moment. And you should, I say it again, I repeat myself, I know, but you should trust yourself. You should trust spirit. Do your homework with yourself, and then job and everything else will put come into the right place, actually.
Okay.
And when talking about job, I think, well, I don't think you get a new job tomorrow afternoon. So you just have to wait a little while, but not very long, I should say.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Alyssa. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Thank you. You too.
Good. Well, we have some announcements to do about upcoming shows, and let's see what we have here. Well, tomorrow it's Monday after Sunday, every week. We have Kathleen Han, Gratitude Challenge Series, being grateful for where you are going. Series wrap up and open lines. And then we have Tuesday, April 30th, Power of Three. Special guest, paranormal researcher David Nunnally. Oh, wow. That sounds really interesting. And on Friday, the 3rd of May, you have Soul Realignment Series. What are soul specializations? Well, I don't know, but you get the answer on Friday. And on Saturday, you have Mystical Musings, Ancestral Healings. Yeah, great show are waiting for you next week. So let me talk a little about this Angel Prayers Lounge for 24 hours on Facebook, starting the 1st of May. It is an amazing project, actually. We have Sherry Myers, who will be our guest in about 2 weeks, started this project, and we are about 30 mediums creating angel prayers for every situation in life. And we are mediums from all over the world. So everybody can get part of these prayers. If you have Alexa, you know, the voice here, you can have some angel prayers for free. So listen and don't miss the lounge. It will be so fun and so fantastic. And if you want to listen to me there, so Sherry's interviewing me at very early time, I will say. It's 7 o'clock Pacific time and 9 o'clock a.m. East. But if you are awake and if you like angels, so don't forget to listen. Wow, Frankie, let's move on with our topic. Are you there?
Yes, I was
awfully quiet.
Always there listening to you now.
Oh,
well, it's supposed to be much about how to deal with various methods of interpretation of the content of your mind. And for example, mostly when it is about unusual experiences, you know, non-ordinary states of consciousness, as they are labeled by Stanislav Grof, I mean, these remarkable transpersonal psychiatrists. No?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, is to establish a trustful situation with the patient, you know, if you are a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
No? And, for example, quoting, for example, a case of somebody who had a vision of the cosmic phallus called Shiva Linga, you know. And the guy turned psychotic, I don't know for which reason, because, well, psychotic is just a term, of course. And mm-hmm. when he tried to speak to to his Freudian therapist, the Freudian therapist that couldn't acknowledge, the vision, you know. And that patient met Grof, and Grof recognized the value, the veracity of the archetypal image of the Shivalinga, if you recall it, that in Indian, which is a symbol of fecundity, you know, and spiritual abundance. So once he named it, and so suddenly the nature of the relationship changed for the better, and the patient started to feel better and was cooperating, and at the end, well, he was relieved from the yard, you know. So mm-hmm. you see, it was that case was really, really something to consider, you know, what is the degree of trust between the patient and the psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that, well, the therapy would never work, you know. It's like two people playing different games, you know.
Yeah.
So what is very important for us also in the healing arts, like what we are doing, or psychotherapy, is to acknowledge, the role of the spirituality. And we have some departments of transpersonal psychology in America, and very few in Europe, you know, unfortunately, you know. So this is exactly what we are expecting to be for the coming decades, is to have a growing number of people who want that to be mainstreamly, if you want, acknowledged by universities, colleges, and organization, administration, things like that, and health professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was thinking, perhaps it's a little bit out of the context, but what do you think will happen if the society embraces that kind of experience that we all have? What do you think should be happen then? You have an experience, you go to a therapist or your doctor or somebody else embracing it, and the society is really supporting you in that matter. So what do you think will happen if you see it in the worldwide, in the global village?
Yes, at the beginning we would say that these sort of problems are mainly appearing in the Western world, you know, because mm-hmm. in the Western world you have the most advanced psychiatric help, you know, if you want, you know. Of course, there are psychiatrists everywhere on the planet, you know. But I mean, speaking in statistically, statistical terms. Of course, if you have a major paradigm changes in this context, it will have tremendous consequences for the entire planet. Of course.
Yes. I
because guess suddenly you see that if your therapist is is trusting you and acknowledge you and anything like that, then of course you will have a resonance at the political levels and societal level, and there can be radical changes of paradigm where suddenly spirituality has come on the front page, so to speak, you know. So
imagine that we have that support system, and we have the great leaders of the world, presidents and kings and et cetera, all over the world, politicians, having these experiences, letting themselves be guided by the higher realms. What an amazing thing.
Oh, yes.
Well?
That's a beautiful vision, yeah, of course. No.
Yeah.
I suppose we are not yet there, but this is what some astrologers like the great Dan Rudyard said, it will come one day or another in the future, you know. And he said that the real age of spiritual rebirth would be the age of Sagittarius.
Mm-hmm.
Something, 2,000 years in the future, then you will have that kind of major, you know, shift, you know, in universal consciousness. And it's already happening now. But I mean, if you're speaking in terms of the world organization and world government, we have to wait some centuries, you know, in order, because unfortunately, you know, mankind is not that, you know, standing at different layers of the, or ladders of the rug, you know.
Yeah, you're an astrologer, so how long do you think it will take until the leaders of the world are open for these kind of things?
Well, there are some speculation, and they are coming from materialistically oriented futurists, like Ray Kurzweil is speaking about the, you know, the coming of a singularity. The singularity is just technological singularity, but if it is a spiritual singularity, it could be, well, a major game changer, you know, well, affecting the entire planet. And you see that, according to some very, you know, very serious studies, you know, in value development, value developmental studies done by a person like, you know, famous psychologists like Baumbach and Cohen, the center of gravity of the actual planet, you know, on the value development level, we are still, you know, 70% of the entire humanity, you know, is still at the ethnocentric level.
Yeah.
Which means that we are far beyond, I mean, that idea of a global world. Very few in America, you have perhaps what they call the culturally creative people, and they are representing something like 50 million of Americans, you know, in that sense, you know.
Yeah.
People thinking that they're world-centric, if you want, you know. So that's not very much, because in America you have 300 million, you know, more than that, you know, inhabitants. And in Europe also there is a shift there, but there are signs of times we are not, which are not, you know, really so favorable in that direction, you know, the present moment. You know, there is a kind of ethnocentric, you know, setback somewhere everywhere on the planet. So that's, if you have, let's say, 30% of the planet, the humankind, being at the so-called creative level, then you have a major game changer. But we, at the moment, we are just close to 10% or something like that. So it's not that much, you know.
No.
But it will happen. It will happen. It is a divine plan.
Oh,
you know?
Can't wait. I think we have another caller online here. So, hello, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Donna from California. How are you two doing?
We are doing great. And how are you doing, Donna, from California?
Oh, real good. I'm exercising, I'm meditating twice a day and reading my book.
Wow.
Walking on the beach and, you know, just nurturing myself. And it feels real good. I have a lot of energy now from swimming for an hour and a half every day. It's good.
Wow, that sounds great, actually.
Yeah, the swimming just gives you a lot of stamina. It's wonderful.
Yeah, oh, you're swimming, and you can swim in California. You can swim in the ocean.
Well, it's a little bit too cold, but try swimming in the pool that's 84 degrees.
Okay. Well, Donna, what can we do for you today?
Well, I just wanted to know what messages you were picking up for me, because I did 3 weeks ago get a message during my meditation that it's coming soon, and the message filled me up with a lot of love and a lot of peace and gratitude and So I'm expecting something really great to come in for me soon. And I just wanted to know what, if you had any messages for me from spirit guides or anyone like that, please.
Yes. Let's check what's happening here. Oh, yeah. The puzzle is almost finished. It's the first who is coming. And who's in spiritual line here? Oh, we have a healing guide here. A healing guide wants to help you. I don't think he's been there forever. He's just a temporary guy who is helping you and getting you fit for fight, actually. And it's like that you are closing a chapter in your life book and are ready to open a new one. And you are radiating energy as you speak to us here. And I think they will confirm it, that you're setting goals for the moment. So in the nearest future, don't stress anything. Things take time, and we have no patience with human beings. I can really say it's concerning all of us. Nobody wants to hear about patience. But in your case, I think you need a little bit patience. And you have your goals, and trust that you are on the right path. Don't get stressed if things are not changing right this minute. It will do that. So have a little faith, and I think about 3 months forward, it could happen. Good things in your life, actually. And you are more confident with yourself, aren't you?
Yes.
Yes. So I think it's good. Frankie, do you have something to add here? Frankie, I can't hear you. Perhaps you are on mute.
Yes. The hexagram of the I Ching is giving a pushing upward, which means there will be great progress and success. That is the commentary of the I Ching, you know. Very good. Hello?
Hi.
So what do you say? So can you understand, Donna?
Yes, I understood. Yes. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Donna, I have a little message for you. It's a man here. I think he was in a... It can be some kind of a wheelchair. It's an elderly man sitting in a chair, and I think that could be a wheelchair, actually. Not very much hair on his head. I see no beard, and I think he also had glasses. And he was a little frozen the last time before he was leaving the body. He's a nice man, ordinary dress. He looks very nice, and he wants to say something to you. Can you recognize him?
Yes, I think it's an elderly friend of mine that I have. Yes.
Ah, okay. Well, he's here. He looks very happy, and he gives you sweet, actually. So I hope you like sweet. Who doesn't? But I also think he's. It's a symbolic gesture here. So something sweet is coming into your life. It also comes with flowers. Is there a kind of an anniversary or something like it's coming up here?
Well, I just had my birthday, April 22nd, so that was not too long ago. And,
no.
My mom's
it's
birthday
probably
is
that.
Coming up. My mom's birthday is coming up in June.
Oh, I think it's your birthday, actually.
And it's
tulips. It's very nice tulips, red and white tulips for you. And let's see what he's saying. Donna, is there a love in your life? Do you have any relationship? No? I think you should be open for a new relationship. I think it's coming here. And he's he's bringing us a ring. So I see it like a symbol for love is coming into your life. So I hope you want love in your life.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, great. So, so much love from this man to you and from us, from Frankie and me here. Okay?
Thank you so much. And you two have a wonderful day. That was great. Thank you very much.
Thank
Goodbye.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Frankie, well, what to say to people want to have some contact with spirit in a dream or in a meditation? Do you have any tips?
Well, I can just give some piece of advice. You know, first,
yeah?
Do some good dream work, because dreams are, as Freud once upon a time says, a royal road toward the unconscious, and that's true. That's true, because the dreams are experiences in the subtle spheres or dimensions of the psyche, you know, and you have also mm-hmm. causal dimension of the psyche. Psyche is very, very well. Is extremely, is infinite, you know, actually, you know, and we have different, we encounter different layers. And sometimes in dreams you have causal messages coming from really from higher states of, mm-hmm. you know, the energy, if you want, you know, different higher worlds where some people realize being, are living, you know. You know, the organization of cosmos, according to a lot of sources, and, you know, when you are doing some kind of comparative analysis of what the different traditions are talking about, there are several layers, and, people do not need to understand or to believe in reincarnation, but there is always a kind of a circular movement from this, the subtle to the physical, from the causal to the subtle, and things like that, you know. And therefore, the spiritual development on this planet is very important, because what you are doing and thinking will affect your life in the spiritual realms. Yeah, and all religions spoke about that. So, a vision of hell and heavens and stuff like that are true. They are not eternal. They are stations of consciousness, you know. But they are real in that sense, because if you behave very badly, you will, once you leave the body, you don't have that defense mechanism to protect you. And everything will come on you, you know.
Yes. So the experience are for real. Well, it's soon, the show is soon ending, but I think we have a new caller. So, well, caller, are you there? Hello? Hello, caller?
Yes. Hi, my name's Deborah. Hello.
Hi, Deborah. Where are you calling from?
Louisiana. In the
Deborah
U.S.
From Louisiana. Yes. Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good. I would also like a message. I've been feeling very floaty lately, and I don't know what's happening with that.
What do you mean by floaty?
Like, I go to work, and I feel unconnected to my coworkers, and very, like I'm there, but I'm not there.
Okay, let's see. Oh, you shouldn't worry. I have a spiritual guide here for you. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah? It's a male energy this time also, just a male here today. He looks very lovely, and he's filling your cup. He tells us that, or he's showing me in pictures, that your cup is empty, empty of energy, empty or lust for life and vitality. So he's filling your cup with more vitality, with more joy, because you need some joy in life. And he tells you, go back to spirit. And with that, he means spirit inside yourself. You should practice some meditation to open up, to let them fill you with hope, with joy, with love, and a lot of energy.
Okay.
And I also think you have been shutting down for a while. And if something wants to pop up from your unconscious in a psychological way, so it's something that you are holding back emotionally, I think. And it's a good idea to open that door and let it out. Take a good look at it and do something about it, and then throw it away. And then you will be more more open, actually. And you have to trust them, because as he shows us, he's filling your cup. And it's a lot of love. And I also think some kind of love relationship is on your way. Do you have somebody in your life for the moment?
I do.
Yeah. Well, I think otherwise your relation will be a little bit better, or you're selling that guy and buy a new one. So, you know, so life is coming into your life in different ways. Let's hear what Frankie has to say and I Ching. Frankie, are you on mute?
Yes, I listened to the conversation.
Yeah.
And the I Ching is giving a wonderful hexagram picture called joy. So everything will turn to on the well, you know, in the moment. So she doesn't have to worry about that. Joy, and that's not a problem that she's not connected to her job, comrades, or something like that. There is an emergency of joy in in her, and that's very good. To not worry about that, to let the things happen.
Okay.
Yes.
That sounds good.
Do you understand that?
I would like a new job, though. Nothing has come into view that makes me want to go to it. Do you know what I mean? But I'm tired of this job because there's drama. A lot of drama.
Yeah, yes. So you don't have to worry about the attitude reaction of your job comrades. Yes, of course you can seek a new job, because you are in a very, very good context of manifesting that stuff, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it
hasn't
come into clear
vision.
About that, you know.
Sorry? I haven't got the vision of the next job, even though I'm ready, so I'm kind of in a stuck place.
Yeah.
I'm careful.
That's the first, I think that's the first thing to do. Create your vision, what you want to do. Let your inner you talk to you, create vision, do it in meditation and dreams. So before you have a vision, you can't get anything. You can't get it manifested.
True.
You see? Yeah.
Yes.
So, sorry, Frankie, I interrupt you. Do you have something more to
say?
No.
Joy. When you have joy, it means that you don't have to. You don't have to worry. You have to go ahead. Don't be afraid of changing our life. You know, that is exactly what the energy is telling. You know? So you don't have to be paranoid about the fact that you will lose something. This is going to be a radical change in your life. So go ahead.
Okay.
You're supported by the universe, by the divine, in other words. They're supported by that, so don't worry about that.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you
so much for calling in.
Okay.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you both. Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Okie dokie. It's time to wrap it up, actually. Our next show is May the 12th. The Power of Prayers. Special guest Sherry Myers. Don't miss to listen in then. And if you like to contact Frankie or me to book a private reading or an astrology session, please visit our host page at psychictalk.net, Lottie and Frankie. You can also find us at Facebook, Spiritual Landscapes, Lottie and Frankie, or visit our webpage, spirituallandscapes.net. So please don't hesitate to contact us. And don't forget May the 1st to listen in fantastic angel prayers. And you can go into Alexa and you can have free angel prayers. They are lovely. So thank you for today's show, and thank you so much for listening to us. Don't forget to listen next time. And Frankie, see you in the kitchen.
Yes, sure. Goodbye, everybody.